An airline that tried to serve small cities is calling it quits. Since airline deregulation in the 1970s, America's small towns have struggled to find companies and passengers willing to use their airports. The federal government subsidizes rural air service for about $100 million per year, but many planes fly with most seats empty. Brian Mann of North Country Public Radio reports on the demise of Big Sky.
A few months ago, Fred DeLue's Montana-based Big Sky Airlines was expanding fast, opening routes into the Midwest and Northeast.
We love serving the North Country. We love serving the state of New York. And
Big Sky was one of the country's major airlines, serving federally subsidized essential air service routes, handling about 10% of those flights nationwide. But by last week, the company was imploding, with Big Sky officials blaming high fuel costs and a lack of regular passengers.
Tearing it down. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking all the equipment apart.
Arnie Niedecker, who worked at a tiny rural airport in Lake Clear, New York, was busy dismantling Big Sky's check-in counter.
So what happens to you now?
Well, I'm out of work. I have to apply for unemployment. That's where I'm headed.
140 pilots and ground crew were laid off, and Big Sky's collapse will eventually leave more than a dozen airports across the country without any commercial flights. Gary Edwards, town supervisor in Messina, New York, says the loss of daily service threatens to isolate his community at a time when the economy is already struggling.
We've invested so much money over the years into the airport, and we just have to start over.
Nationwide, about 3,000 people use EAS flights every day, but the cost to taxpayers is steep, about $100 per passenger per flight. In the last decade, federal subsidies have jumped fourfold, topping $109 million last year. On average, about two-thirds of the seats on those flights are empty. A GAO report issued last April found that 17% of the subsidized airports see fewer than 5 passengers per day. Critics and supporters alike say Big Sky's meltdown revives questions about EAS's future. Congressman John McHugh represents Northern New York and has fought hard to keep the money flowing.
I'm sure it'll be used by those that oppose EAS at all as an example of why we ought to get rid of it, because it doesn't work anyway.
McHugh says subsidies should actually be increased, but Michael Boyd, an aviation consultant based in Colorado, says the problem is that too much taxpayer money is going to airports that aren't truly isolated.
In many cases, EAS is just sort of a pork barrel that doesn't bring anything home. And it needs to be totally rebuilt. And the problem is Congress is not willing to do that.
The GAO report found that nearly $25 million is being spent every year to prop up airports that are less than a two-hour drive from major hub airports. Brian Termail, spokesman for the U.S. Department of Transportation, says his agency developed programs to wean those airports off the system, but lawmakers balked.
Congress refused to fund even such a small demonstration program.
Pressure for reform may come from the airline industry itself. Subsidies are spread so thin, Termail says, that carriers like Big Sky can't survive.
It's not a very successful business model, so it's very hard for these carriers to remain in business and remain viable.
The Department of Transportation is now searching for new carriers to take over Big Sky's routes from Montana to Tennessee to New York. So far, only a handful of companies have expressed interest. For NPR News, I'm Brian Mann in Northern New York.